This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009 and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
I'm not here to around this week. Now you may be, but I'm not.
You hungry?
Hey, Ma! Bring us some meatloaf!
You don't think this is the greatest? I will fight you. That's no lie.
Can you clap for the killers?
All right, let's rock.
Give it up for them gangsters.
Throw off that.
One time for the killers. Double up for them gangsters.
Just live in the dream.
I have been waiting. Welcome to Chicago Bulls.
I gotta be honest. I come in, it's like a little like I'm trying to get my
bearings.
There's cartoons.
Your mom.
Are you still
getting
here?
Yeah. We're going.
Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of the Chicago Bullseye. A very special episode, our 300th episode, man. We've been doing this since 2007, and ironically, this was when we started. We thought it was going to be a dream season. The Bulls were absolutely terrible. They've been actually pretty good since that first season. We got Derrick Rose that year. And here we lay in 2016, Chicago Bulls out of the playoff race as of today. It's kind of bittersweet. Fred, what do you think?
Yeah, I never really thought of it that way. Kind of like full circle, right? Where we started with a lot of hope, ended that season with a lot of disgust, and then that led to Rose. It did lead to getting Rose, but in this year, pretty much the same. A lot of hope. I've been probably more bullish on this team than anyone. You know, but still, big picture to me, you can't ignore the fact this team has been completely decimated by injuries. I don't get, like, the attitude to just ignore that fact. I mean, I saw this stat today in Casey Johnson's article. The Bulls went 16-5 last season when the top six rotation of Derrick Rose, Butler, Dunleavy, Noah, Gasol, and Mirotic played. Those six haven't played a game together this season. They haven't played one game together. It's like, I mean, come on. They're missing four out of their top six rotation players right now. Their best defender, perimeter defender, is Butler. He's been out. Their best interior defender is Noah. He's been out. Gibson's probably their third best defender. He's been out. And you're wondering why the defense has suffered for the last 15 games. It's like, hello? It doesn't take rocket science. You lose your two best defenders. I don't care who you are. You're going to have trouble. If you're Cleveland and you lose your best player and four of your top six in the rotation, you really think you're going to win a lot of games? No, it's going to be a full-fledged disaster. And it's like the world just wants to ignore this fact and act like, to me, it's kind of a miracle that we're 30-30. You know, the Bulls have lost more players since January 9th than any team but the Suns. The Suns now have the second worst record in the NBA. I believe only the Lakers have a worse record. It's a miracle to me that we're even hanging around 500, you know? So everybody knows this team isn't this bad. You know, I hope so, right? I mean, I understand the frustration. Believe me, I do. I'm very frustrated, too. And we shouldn't be this bad. But I still feel there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I really do. I mean, if Butler comes back and Rose keeps on playing the way he has, and we start getting somewhat healthy come playoff time, and we can have a good enough record to get in the playoffs, you know, call me crazy, I still think there's not a team in the East that will want to play the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, I agree with that. But they're going to have to get people healthy, and they're going to have to start playing some consistent ball for me to think that they have any chance in the playoffs. You're right, they're decimated by injuries. You're right, I don't think that they're this bad. The fact of the matter is that a couple games, you know, if they weren't quite this bad and just a little bit less bad, they would be in the playoff hunt right now. I mean, they're right in the thick of things, but they're going to have to write this ship fast. And I don't like hearing the injury excuse is only an excuse to the degree that, you know, I get it, but we have to accept the fact that you're never going to have that lineup that played last year play together this year because Noah's not coming back. And you know, who knows how Nico's going to be. Nico's lost all kinds of weight. He wasn't even really playing that good before he went down. Who knows if he's going to really add anything to our team when he finally gets back. The fact is that this getting Jimmy back tomorrow, and that's what they say today, that Jimmy's coming back Saturday. Jimmy comes back tomorrow. That's really it. I feel like. He comes back, and that's really it. That's the only. That's probably going to be your team in terms of the rotation guys that make a difference. I don't see Nico, who wasn't playing well before, coming back from something that he's been out from for so long, that where he was sick and ill and not able to keep his body, you know, in game shape or whatever. I mean, he lost 15 pounds. To be in that sort of a situation, to think that he's going to come back and be fucking incredible this year, it's ridiculous. So I think that, you know, Jimmy's going to be it. We'll see how we do with Jimmy, but I don't think that Jimmy's going to be able to... I mean, we've had a lot of close games, but I don't think that Jimmy's going to solve all of our problems. I don't think all of a sudden we're going to be playing great basketball, and it's kind of a head-scratcher, because I think that we still, even with these injuries, have enough talent where we shouldn't be this bad. I mean, when Derek's playing the best basketball he's played since he's come back, consistently, night in and night out, you have a guy that's scoring 20-plus points every single freaking night, and you have Pau Gasol. So why didn't that equal itself out in some degree where we can win some games? I mean, we're getting throttled right now.
Oh, no, there's no doubt we shouldn't be losing like this. But the defense, it's been a layup line, you know, but again, Gasol's never been a world beater as far as guarding the pick and roll. I still think he's a decent rim defender. Bobby Portis, God love him, I think he's going to be a good player in the league, but defensively now, I see very few people wanting to admit this. He's really bad, especially at rotation defense. He's really struggling on that end. I think he's going to be really good offensively, but he has no idea really what he's doing on a lot of these plays. He's gotten better. I thought he was really poor earlier in the year, but you know, what do you expect? I mean, especially when you got Gibson and Noah, those two guys are your studs defensively, and they're gone. You know, I just keep on coming back to that. Let's not let the frustration of losing blind us to the fact that we're so undermanned right now. And just keep on hearing people talk like Tibbs had to deal with this and he succeeded. No, he never had to deal with four out of his top six rotation players out. He had to deal with a ton of injuries to Rose. But I always go back to Noah, that MVP year, Mark. You remember the year we had finished fourth in MVP voting, was the defensive player of the year. Noah played 80 games that season. Taj Gibson played 82 games. Dunleavy played 82 games. To act like he's had a ton of injuries like this, where you're missing four of the top six, that never happened. And in fact, I was on Sylvie and Waddle the other day mentioning this fact that last March, Butler was out for a few games. We lost 6 of 9. 5 of those losses were by double digits. We got slaughtered in 5 of those games. And every one of those games, the opposition scored over 100 points. The 6th loss was by 9 points. But you know what saved us last March is Nico had an incredible March. He was getting to the line a ton. And he really stepped up his game. He's not here to save us. You know, he's not stepping up his game because he's out. I mean, he played 82 games last year. He's been, this appendicitis is, I mean, just the injuries and the bug. You know, it's one thing to have an injury due to wear and tear, like an ankle or a knee injury. How do you defend against appendicitis? How do you defend against a freak shoulder injury to Noah? It just sucks. It really does, you know. And I don't think they should be this bad and playing as poorly as they are, because you still have Rose for some of these games. When you have Rose and Gasol, you should at least be competing. I don't know.
People were livid about Rose and the games last week. And all I'm going to say, too, I don't care if we're out of the playoff picture or not. It's still February. Like, it's the end of February. There's plenty of time for us to make our way back in. And it's as if people, like, they just, like, they totally disregard the fact that Derek has missed all these games. And you heard Derek come out and say it, and he's like, yeah, I've missed a ton of games in my career, and I need to focus on my body. And if I'm sore, I'm not going to push it, because what's happened before? He's pushed it, and he's gotten hurt. So I absolutely think he should listen to his body. And, the streak we're on right now, I'm sure would have been a different streak if Rose had been playing, that's for sure. I don't think we would have lost all of these games, like that Portland game. I think we probably would have won that Portland game. I mean, I'm sure that we would have won some of these games. It's bad luck, but at this point, I think that they should be playing.
I saw that the Bulls have lost, I think, second most in the league games. They've lost 9 games where they were leading in the fourth, going into the fourth quarter, and they've lost those games. So, you know, that definitely has something to do with, you know, not having your closer, think about all those games they lost to Utah, to even Minnesota. You didn't have your closer there. And you know, it's gonna have an effect on whether we win or lose those games. No doubt, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. It just still doesn't hide the frustration, you know. I mean, I just think we got to be smart and not start calling for people's heads. I still think big picture, there's hope. It's not like this is a terrible situation. Oh, we're done. We still got one of the best backcourts in the NBA, and we still have good pieces like Bobby Portis is a good young player. We still have Nico. I still think would qualify as a promising young player in most people's eye, in most GM's eyes.
I don't know.
Maybe.
He's hurt his stock a lot. You can't say he
has. No doubt. But he's still a promising player.
Could be. I mean, look, he's of more value to us than he is to any other team. You're going to get lowballed right now. I mean, if his value right now is in the toilet, he could be a promising player. Maybe. Maybe not. I mean, he certainly hasn't gotten any better this year. He hasn't really progressed at all. He's regressed, if anything. And you haven't seen the flashes of brilliance that you saw in that March. Not to say that he can't do it. Maybe he can. And the fact that he's even shown flashes of brilliance show you that it exists in his game. But we haven't seen it this year.
No doubt. I mean, he's been a massive disappointment. I did feel he was playing a tad bit better before he got hurt. But, you know, there's no doubt he was still struggling, which, you know, young players often do. I still believe in Nico could be a valuable player in a rotation for a team that really contends for a title, but call me crazy. You know, I don't think the league has soured on him that much yet. And look at McDermott's progression in the last few weeks. All these people that weren't willing to bury the guy, he throws up 30 against Toronto, and for four or five straight games puts in double digits. He's clearly getting better. He's clearly starting to find his game on the offensive end. And, you know, I think that is one bright spot in this sea of darkness.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and also the fact that Derrick Rose is starting to look like Derrick Rose again. I mean, he's starting to look like a pretty good freaking player. And I kind of think that he's back. I mean, because even, like, look at the Miami game, he was good. Like, pretty much he's doing it every single night now. Like, for the last few weeks, Derrick Rose has been good every single game. Now, he missed some time. But besides the missing time, Derrick Rose has been good pretty much every single night in February. I mean, like, he looks to be the same player. And, I mean, that's something that you really gotta be positive about that. And, I mean, we are in a bad situation right now. Things don't look good. And it doesn't look like we've played some good teams. I mean, in this stretch, we've had a relatively hard schedule. So it's like to think that Rose on his own could beat these other teams may be a little presumptuous. But you got to feel good as a fan that he's playing this well, man. I mean, I didn't know if you'd ever see this again. I didn't know if you ever would. And it certainly makes me think that Derrick Rose has a future. Whether it's, you know, who knows how long he'll be good for. But I think that you can still consider him to be a major piece of your team for this year, next year, obviously. And, you know, maybe, you know, another contract.
I don't know, though.
2 years.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm willing to say that now. I don't know if I'm willing to say a major piece. I have my doubts, let's just put it that way. So we had this discussion yesterday. Let's just assume he finishes out the year playing at the same level, and let's say he plays 60 to 70 games next year. Are you really willing to max him out in the following year? Is that what you want to do with Derrick Rose?
It's going to depend. If he continues to put up these kinds of numbers this year, since say he ends the season, his averages won't be this high, but say for like March and April, and in the playoffs, he's averaging somewhere in the 22-7 range, something like that. Shooting, you know, in the mid-fours, 45%, like what he used to shoot. If getting to the line, if he's able to do that, then you go into next year and you have a stellar year or two and you put up those numbers over the season, I could see giving him a big contract because you're not going to be able to replace him. I think somebody will.
My point is, and I love Derrick Rose. I've defended Derrick Rose his entire career here. I've defended all these decisions to sit out. I think maybe it's time just to go our separate ways. Some team's willing to pay him a max deal. I don't think you can do that. I think maybe a team that is a point guard short, right, that is going to go for a title, yeah, then you make that deal. I don't think the Bulls are going to be there at the end of next year. Will you get that dog quiet? What the heck's going on?
I'm going to take care of that, sorry.
What in the world? All right, there you go. I hope he's okay. I mean, it sounds like it snuffed him out or something. You all right?
He's annoying.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he's good.
So what do you think? I mean, assuming he finishes this year like he's been playing, and he plays another 60 games next year, misses a quarter of the season or 20 games, you're really comfortable giving him a max deal again? I'd love to hear what the fans
think.
It's hard.
Well, everyone's going to say no, of course. I think everyone's going to say no. I don't think that's a big shot.
Not everyone.
I think that when you look at the landscape of the NBA, especially now that we have Jimmy Butler locked up, we're going to be an okay team for good. So we're not going to be getting top-tier draft picks. You're not going to get if you're going to be a decent team, I think you need Derrick Rose. I don't think that you're going to be able to go out and fight. And you're going to have cap anyway. So you can always go out and get other players, but you're not going to be able to replace Derrick Rose. I don't think you're going to get a point guard that's better than Derrick Rose. I don't think you're going to get a player. If you let Derrick go, you're letting him go for nothing. And even if you give him a max contract and he's not, assuming that he earns it after, if he's good for the remainder of this year and next year, you give him that, and even if he's crappy for the last year or two of it, and even if you have cap space now. You're going to have cap space to be able to build a team a little bit. So I don't know. I think, what else are you going to do? I mean, it's just, I get it. The history here is very cloudy at the point because of all the injuries. I get it. But what the fuck? What are you going to do? You can't replace Derrick Rose. You can't do it. Can't be done.
No. Well, there's a lot of good point guards in the league. First of all, I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think you can maybe not get something as good as Derrick, but you could probably find a guy who's paid a little bit less, who plays really good defense, who may be save you some money that you could then use on another asset. That's one another thing. Let's all calm down a little bit here. Everybody's acting like the cap is going up to $200 million or something. It's going up to $90 million. Teams
going up above 100.
No, the estimates are 90 for next year, brother.
It's a big enough jump where this offseason teams are going to have money. But
they
also,
can't add another.
Teams are going to have money. All teams are going to have money. So it's like, this isn't like most off seasons where people are going on wars and it's like, maybe you have five teams that can bid because those are the ones that have cap space. This is going to be every team in the NBA has cap space. So do I think that it's highly likely that this offseason that the Bulls go out and they whiff in all courts? Yes, because I think that this is the year where it's going to be the most difficult to get free agents because they're going to have their pick of the litter. They can go anywhere they want. Why would you go to the Bulls? At this point, why would you go to the Bulls? It's not a great looking basketball situation.
That's another thing I differ on. You have Jimmy Butler entering the prime of his career. Right there, you got a guy who's, by most estimates, is probably top 15 in the NBA. So you're already better. I think he falls somewhere between 10 and 15. You're already ahead of half the teams in the NBA. You got a guy in his prime, not post-prime. It's like, it's not as dire as people want to. The mere fact that you have a guy that good is a step ahead of what most teams have.
What I'm saying is that if teams like LA Clippers, Oklahoma City, Golden State, whatever, if those situations are going out and trying to fill in these free agent gaps too, I'd rather as a player go to those situations. The Bulls situation is much murkier, right? You have Butler, but you have a history of injuries. They're not very good right now, and you might not think that you could be that final piece. Why? I mean, look, if Golden State, you're going to have a hard time, I think, signing free agents. Butler's attractive. And maybe like a year from now, it'll be more attractive. But I just think that in this offseason, people are going to overpay for everyone, first of all, because everyone's going to have cap space. It's going to be a crazy-ass bidding war. I think it's going to be nuts. And teams are going to get capped out very quick. Like, this thing changes, and now all of a sudden you have this extra cash. But that's just going to mean that people are going to get more overpaid. The market's going to improve for players. They're all going to get overpaid, and all of a sudden next season, all the teams are going to be capped out again, but just with a bunch of bad contracts.
Touches a little bit on what the Bulls did at the trade deadline. I've never seen so much outrage for some alleged deals. Like, everybody's upset about this alleged deal with the Kings, and first of all, Kufis the Doofus sucks. That's the guy we're going to bring in. You think you don't like Gasol with his double-doubles, you're going to hate Doofus with his single-singles. And the guy signed in 2019. He's due to make $10 million in 2019. Everybody's like, well, the cap's going up. Who cares? It's still a significant portion of your cap. Like, you really want a guy that sucks that bad, on your cap in that year? It's like people have lost their mind. Every major News, Adrian Wojnarowski, all of them reported the Bulls were actively trying to shop and make themselves better. Shop Gasol. It didn't happen. What do you expect them to do? To go out and act like and make statements that, you know, hey, we tried to shop them. We weren't able to get a deal that we liked. Everybody was on the cheap for him, which is no doubt true. And, you know, we have no intention of re-signing him. What good does that announcement make? You know, you had a free agent here who came here, signed for much less than he could have, and you would treat him or disrespect him with an announcement to the world to satisfy a bunch of mouth breathers that they actively tried to trade him and they have no intention of signing him. Everybody just calm the heck down. You know, I'll admit, there's no bigger Gasol fan than me. If they sign him for $20 million next year, I'll be mildly upset because, you know, we could probably use those assets somewhere, those assets somewhere else. But let's not get upset until they do it. There's no way they're going to sign him for $20 million. I think, and everybody's like, well, he's given no indication that he'll give us a discount. I'm like, well, yeah, he kind of signed for 2 years at $7 million. And who cares? Like, I think Gasol next year for a one-year deal at $13 million, there's nothing wrong with that. You're a professional at $12 million. He's a professional who's played at a high level, an all-star level for 2 years, who can help the younger players along, like Nico Mirotic. I think he's done a lot of good stuff with those guys in the locker room. If it's a one-year deal, who cares? Why is that such a bad thing to have a guy like that? And it's just like, it just invokes outrage. It's because people hate Gasol. I mean, the guy had a freaking triple-double in the third quarter last game, and I swear, 87% of the tweets I read were, this guy sucks. It's like, it's the whole Chicago mentality cannot respect offense. There's just half the fan base is predisposed to hate offensive players who don't play defense. It's like insanity to me. And I find it irritating. I find it odd. And I find it just, it's tiresome. It's like, you go down the list, Ben Gordon, Kyle Korver, even Boozer his first 2 years, these offensive inclined players who provide value to the team, but if it falls on the offensive side of the ball, they suddenly get a bunch of hate because they're not, you know, all-world defensively. And yet, guys like Heinrich, who's been a complete train wreck on the offensive end, who hustles a little bit defensively, gets, you know, love and desire for statues to be made. It's bizarre to me. It really is.
It goes beyond his defense. I think that people think that sports in general, you see this in all sports, but people think that it's just like freaking Toys R Us, and you could just go to the free agent store and just go get whoever you want. It's like, hey, Paul Gasol sucks because he's not as good as Anthony Davis, or Paul Gasol sucks because, you know, whatever, DeMarcus Cousins is better than he is, so we should just go out and get DeMarcus Cousins. And it's just, I mean, people, not to say that people have thrown specifically that out, but people throw out hypotheticals constantly, and it's like they just hate a player because there's people in the league that are better than him at his position, and it's just like, it's hard to get talent. It's hard to get real talent, and God willing, this guy wanted to come here, Paul Gasol, and he's playing really, really well. And you want other free agents to come here. And frankly, I think it makes people scared when the media turns on every freaking player on this damn team. I mean, who's going to want to play in Chicago when they know that the media is just so cutthroat that they're just going to jump on anyone the minute that they're down? I mean, the flip that you saw with Derrick Rose was just sickening. I mean, all of a sudden I see Joe Cowley writing articles about how good he is, like not even with like a hint of skepticism because of the years and years that he's crapped on Derrick Rose. It's like all of a sudden he's cool with Derrick Rose again, and he's saying how great Derrick Rose is. Now they've lost some games, so who knows what he's writing today. But it's just the media just is constantly looking for a story, and I don't really care what they say. Their opinions do not influence my opinions of management. I do think that we have shown an apprehension with trades, but people have to realize that at this point we're not good. So teams are going to know that we're desperate. Like, maybe the Bulls need to make a move. They knew that they could lowball us, man.
These same people that hate Gasol, the thing that really gets me is all these idiots that just have massive white-hot hate for Gasol. Every one of these guys wanted Lance Stephenson, you know, signed for, like, a max deal, you know, back in that free agency period. You go back in time, and you remember what I said. I was 100% right. Almost every one of these guys to the T, I remember reading their stuff and listening to them and talking to them. Every one of those guys wanted Stephenson ahead of Gasol. How does that look? You really think that's a good move? Lance Stephenson.
You're right, and now they're going to deny
almost
it.
Out of
they'll
the
deny
league.
It today.
They'll deny it, or they'll look for any reason to prove that they weren't moronic in the fact of the matter is the guy's completely outplayed his contract. He's been one of the best signings as a free agent the Bulls ever had. And, yeah, he's got his faults that we dwell on every 5 minutes. But he also is excellent offensively. He's a fantastic passer. The best passing center in the league now that his brother's out and Noah's out. And he's been great for us. And if tell me the centers you think are better. You know, you can count on one hand the centers you'd rather have in the league. But, you know, let's just dwell on, you know, the guy sucks. He's 36 and he shouldn't be out of the league. Whatever. He's not the problem.
You never heard that talk in L.A.
No, because they were smart. Kobe had a first round out every year until Gasol was gift wrapped to them from Memphis. That's a fact.
Look at our team last year. Look at what happened to our team in the playoffs when Gasol went down. Look at it. It ruined our team. I mean, whatever you want to say about this team right now, and they do suck. But, I mean, you know, you look at what the Lakers were when Gasol's last season there. I mean, there was kind of like the same situation. He's playing some depleted team right now. That's a tough situation to see through. And who knows if it's going to fix itself or not. But to undermine his importance to this team because we're losing is ridiculous, because it was very apparent last year how much he means to this team. And if go ask Kobe Bryant what he thinks about Pau Gasol. Go ask Kobe Bryant if he thinks that Pau Gasol is a liability on a team because of his defense. Go ask Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I would like to, and I think he would agree with
us.
Let's get him on the show.
I'll see what I can do. We have Kobe Bryant on the show.
I'm sure he'd love to hear from me. The guy's been saying he's not in the top 10 all time for about 5 years.
My favorite thing in the world right now is the fact that I live in Milwaukee and I don't have to be inundated with Chicago media every day. And it's like I can pick and choose when I hear it. It doesn't get thrown in my face, and I actually really like that because it's our media is blood-sucking awfulness, especially sports media. It's just become this big array of suck, and it sucks the life out of you, man. It sucks the life out of you. It's all media. I mean, it's political media, too. It's this garbage that we see right now, but it's sports media is terrible, man, and it's nice being in Milwaukee where I don't get inundated with BS. Dude, you would not believe. So the story here in Milwaukee, like the thing that people were freaking out about, so I guess Steve Novak played at Marquette. So the Bucks get Steve Novak. Every night on the TV, all they talk about is Steve Novak, and he just went out with an injury. He plays like 2 minutes a game, and yet every night they'll give updates on TV about Steve Novak. That's what the fan base out here is like. They're nice about their team. They're not constantly crapping on them, and that team sucks too. You don't hear them doing that. But you just having a guy like Steve Novak on the team makes everybody happy again. I mean, why can't the media be like that?
I'm glad you mentioned Steve Novak, because that's all I heard from these mouth breathers who were just trying to diss on McDermott. You know, like, oh, he sucks. He's just Steve Novak reincarnated. Well, number one, outside shooting is extremely important in today's NBA, so no matter what, there's value in that skill that he has. But really?
Doug McDermott.
No, I know. You look at Doug McDermott taking the ball up. He's got like 10 times the athleticism that Steve Novak has. Have you ever seen Steve Novak dunk like Doug has in the last 2 weeks? No.
Steve Novak averages like two points a game. You can't compare the two players. Look at what Doug McDermott is doing. This guy can be an impact player in this league. Let him continue to develop. But, I mean, it looks like I think that he's going to be a starting player in this league at some point in his career. Because, I mean, he's like, dude, the guy, I mean, you see right now what it means to have the long ball, what it means to be able to shoot the three. And very few people can shoot it like Doug McDermott. He's just going to get better. He's going to continue to learn his strengths at the NBA level. But he's a big boy. And, I mean, even with his lack of athleticism, he'll be able to do things offensively just because he's so tall. And he's such a great shooter. I mean, This is a real basketball player. This is a guy that has the potential to maybe be an all-star. Who knows? I mean, maybe not. Who knows? But I'm just saying he could be one of the best players on your team potentially at some point. You're seeing enough signs where it's like shore up your defense a little bit, like Dunleavy has over the years. Korver did a little bit. Shore that stuff up. And you, I mean, look at what Korver's role is on the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, the Hawks are not as good this year, but in the last few years, Korver was one of the more important pieces on the Hawks, and that's what I think McDermott could be to us. It's people just crap on people, man. And it's like the only one they love is Bobby Portis. It's like Bobby Portis can't do any wrong, but besides Bobby Portis, everybody else sucks.
I know. That's so true. Nico used to be that guy until he just played his way to complete suckitude this year that finally people had to admit he was actually playing at a horrible level. But, you know, I still believe in Nico. It's like the negativity around the season.
Sure.
Hey, I'm just as disappointed as you are and everyone else is. Listen, but I mean, just the negativity is like at a whole nother level. It's like all I hear is FireGuard packs, and I'm like,
they're
you guys
really bad.
You guys realize like we've had one losing season in the last 10 years, and you know, I guess the whole point is I remember what it was like before Pack showed up, and things immediately got better pretty much when he showed up. I mean, we have 30 wins right now. I don't think Cross had 30 wins for the 6 years after Jordan or 5 years seasons after Jordan. He might have 1 year at 30, I think. It was
I don't
last
know, dude.
Year.
I don't think so. Those were lean years.
Yeah. So
you really want to
compare what this has been to that? I mean, it's a huge disappointment, but again, you gotta get clear your head and realize why we're struggling now. It's pretty obvious. Again, 4 out of top 6 missing, and you know, when they get back, are we going to be world beaters and win the title? Probably not. We're still a darn good team when we're healthy. It just bewilders me to act like people are acting like, again, I always say this, we're the Cleveland Browns of the NBA, and it's just ludicrous. It really is. And it's kind of weird that I think the Bulls are held to a different standard than any other team in Chicago. Like, the Bears have sucked. You know how many playoffs the Bears have had since they went to the Super Bowl in 06? How many times have they made the playoffs since then?
Two, right?
Once, Mark. Jesus. You know how many times the Cubs, I'm the biggest Cub fan in the world. They've been a disaster with the exception of last year. I mean, 4 out of the last 5 years have been some of the worst things I've ever gone through. Yeah, the skies look bright right now, but they haven't been good the last 10 years. The Bulls have gone to 7 straight playoffs. They've challenged for a title if it wasn't for Rose's injury.
That's the issue. It's not Garpax, it's the Rose injury. The fact that Rose is always injured made it so that this team could never reach its full potential, but that's just bad luck. That's not that you can't. The toughest thing, in my opinion, look, I wish that they were a little bit better at being able to pull the needle with free agents and not even free. They've gotten the big meetings. Now, maybe you're not always closing, but you're always in like the top two or three with the big free agents. You've always seen that, and it's like
no doubt.
I think
that's
about as good as you can get because it's not like the whole world is just like yes, the Bulls. Like we're Bulls fans, so we're very one team centric. But it's like, you know, if you're presented with a handful of options, you know, they only choose one. They only choose one. And you've only had a handful of big players that were free agents. So
Gasol was the best option. Gasol was the best option. Ben Wallace was the number one option the year they got him. People forget that.
Number one choice besides New York, obviously, but we were his number one choice despite the fact that we were offering him way less freaking money. Way less money. LeBron was top five.
Carlos Boozer was top five. I don't even know. I mean, Carlos Boozer was a top five. I remember it was between him and Stoudemire at 4 or 5. He was top five, and Gasol was number two in that free agent marketplace. And Anthony decided to go back to New York. It's like the Bulls never getting free agents. Is that really even remotely true? How about all the free agents we got in that 2010 offseason? I know Tibbs, everybody likes to give Tibbs credit for, you know, taking the team to the next level. It was a 41-41 team, and we added Korver, we added Boozer, we got rid of that bum Heinrich. That team added a ton, the whole bench mob added a ton of talent. And that was also a big reason in why we were better. Not just Tibbs, and also, you know, Rose took an exponential leap that season. So these guys have proven they can sign good free agents, and, you know, we can go down the list on the cheap guys they've gotten, like Nate Robinson and DJ Augustine and up and down the list, and even Brooks last year was a good addition. I don't feel like just by firing them, that's the answer. It's like, I think they...
Yeah, look at how they've drafted, man. Like, people disregard that. Like, drafting, what other team has major starters in their lineups that were, you know, that they picked at, like, 20, 22, 24, you know, or lower than 20? I mean, like, Jimmy was the last player in the first round. You know, the fact is that we've been able to build our team partially through the draft, which is what you want to do, and it's unbelievable because we've been good. Being good and being able to get high draft picks do not go together. So, with very low picks, we've been able to continue to pick players. Look at everybody's boner right now for Bobby Portis. And it's like, where did we draft Bobby Portis? There were a lot of freaking teams that went before that Portis could have gone to that didn't take him. And every time that we pick a player at our position, generally, people are like, oh, good, you know, they made the most of their draft picks. And
they become good players. Very few teams have that. We've gotten spoiled with that aspect of it, man. Rookies in other cities, you see, you know, a lot of times they draft them and nothing ever comes of them, and then you know they're out of the league in five freaking minutes.
Yeah, agreed. I don't know, Mark. But again, I also understand the frustration. I mean, this team, it's just what has happened the last few weeks. You know, despite the injuries, we shouldn't be getting beat like this. This is also, you know, very disappointing and very.
What's the issue though? That's my question. Besides the injuries, if we shouldn't be getting beaten like this, that means if we shouldn't be getting beaten like this, even with the injuries, why are we still losing? I say the coaching. Maybe Fred Hoiberg's really not that good of a coach. I blame them a little bit there. They didn't seem to really do their homework. They just went out and signed somebody.
They were 22-12 on the 9th, and then that happened, and you know, and all hell broke loose. So I mean, come on. I disagree with that. I really do. So, I don't know. I think we've kind of hit this topic ad nauseum. I still believe when Butler comes back this weekend, you're going to see improvement. I still believe when Nico comes back, you'll see improvement. We'll see where we're at. Do you think they're going to make the playoffs now, as is?
Yes.
What's your prediction?
I think they'll still make the playoffs, yes.
Okay. I concur. I do agree with you 100%.
I mean, you're really competing with Charlotte here, so it's like I have a feeling that that they're going to make the playoffs for sure once Butler comes back. And it's like, and if they don't, you're in the lottery. You know, I mean, like, what? I mean, there's worse things than being in the NBA lottery. So, you know, if we don't make the playoffs, the fans will get their wish, because I'm sure that they're not going to just go out, re-sign Paul Gasol, and then bring back the same damn team next year if they don't even make the playoffs. I'm sure that it's going to be that there'll be major changes. So, you know, it'll just be interesting, and I'm just riding the wave, because this is a great season of NBA basketball. I mean, what's happening with the Golden State Warriors is so exciting, and it's so unprecedented. I mean, I've never seen a player or a team where you just said, man, they are redefining the game. They're changing the game, the way that we view the game. That, you know, that is a story to me, man. The fact that, we, you know, for all of his accolades, LeBron James, all of those accolades, Stephen Curry already has one MVP and one title. LeBron only has two titles in his career. What if, they'll probably win it this year, Golden State, and then maybe they'll win it next year. What if Curry wins three titles? And he's, like, 6 years younger than LeBron James. And it's not like LeBron hasn't had this type of people really like the team. LeBron played with the Miami Heat, super team. LeBron went to Cleveland, super team. Could Stephen Curry actually be the player of this generation, not LeBron James? Maybe. If LeBron can't win again, and Curry's doing this, where he's, like, an MVP year in, year out, like, just tearing it up, I don't think that anyone's going to doubt that right now he's the best player in the league. This has ramifications not just for the Golden State Warriors legacy, but for the legacy of LeBron James.
I still can't believe what he's doing. I mean, what Golden State is doing in general. I did not expect them to be, at this point, challenging the Bulls title, and you just keep on winning. I mean, that game against Oklahoma City was probably one of the best regular season games I've ever seen, and people have talked ad nauseum about it, but I mean, I still go back and watch the highlights. It's just insane how good of a shooter this guy is. And to me, that was when I played, and that's, I don't know how you felt, you didn't really play, but when you go to a parking lot and you'd play, the hardest thing to do is guard a guy out in space, like 45 feet out, 35 feet out, really? How can you stop that? The guy's quick, and you have to guard him that far out. Just puts so much tremendous pressure on defense. And I always say this about Draymond Green. Draymond Green is in a situation where he has the two best shooters, arguably in the league, in the backcourt. He's a good player, very good player, but I don't think Draymond Green would be at this kind of like legendary status that he somehow achieved without playing with those guys. Like if he was in with the Knicks, he'd be a good player, very good player, all-star probably still, but he's not, like, talked about like
he is. No,
he
wouldn't be. I don't
think
he'd be an all-star. I don't
maybe,
think so.
Maybe.
What it does for you, when you have this guy that is not, I mean, this guy is, what Stephen Curry is doing from the aspect of three-pointedness, I mean, you have the two leading three-point shooters in the league on the Golden State Warriors, and they're the two leading three-point shooters by a landslide, especially Curry. What Curry is doing from a three, to have that kind of shooting, gives you unprecedented, gives every player on the floor unprecedented space, unprecedented help. I mean, you've never had a team that's better suited for every player on that team. Like, everybody's game is going to improve, and you've got guys that can hit those kinds of shots. And, God, the rate at which Curry's doing it. I did not know this until last week, but that Curry, of the top five spots in the NBA of most three-pointers made in a season, Curry holds four of the top five ever. And that was before with this year. I mean, he had three this year. And now this year, he obviously beat it. He's the number one three-point shooter of all time. But I had no idea that he was doing it at this clip even before this year. What he is doing from the three-point line, there has never been anybody remotely in the scope. I remember at the beginning comparing him maybe to, like, Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller was not in the stratosphere of Stephon Curry. Nobody is. Larry Bird wasn't in the stratosphere of Stephon Curry. As a shooter, not in the stratosphere. Curry's in the stratosphere all by himself. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to watch.
It's unbelievable, and it's enjoyable, and it's made the season, you know, brought me a lot of joy just to watch those guys play. It's just such a great brand of basketball and so enjoyable to watch guys that hit shots like that. And, you know, I think it's great. I really do for the NBA. It just is such a cloud over us here in Chicago with everything that's going on. All right, my man, I got to hit the ground running. I hope you have a great weekend. Hey, episode 300, fantastic. Good times. You know, hopefully we'll have 300 more. We're going to get into some other topics over the next few weeks. We have a Bob versus Bruce, Bob Dylan versus Bruce episode.
It's not a competition. There should be no competition.
There is kind of a competition, a little bit. I mean, there's no denying the fact that...
They both sing with a growly voice.
No, Bruce Bob Dylan is a bigger icon and more influential in American society than Bruce Springsteen was. That's a fact. That's can't
people
be
like
argued.
Bruce Springsteen more, trust me.
So
people
what?
Like Bruce Springsteen
people like,
more.
People like The Wanted more than The Beatles.
No, I don't think... Dude, I think that it's just because he was like one of the original folk artists that people talk... People talk about Bob Dylan, but you don't see Bob Dylan fans. Like, you don't see like people that are just nuts about... There's some... Man, dude, Bob Dylan plays... When he plays, he's playing small little places, man. He's not playing stadiums. He can't sell out stadiums every...
What does that mean?
But that shows, that's the influence, man. That's influence. When you're getting 20,000 people, young and old, seeing you every single night, and you're selling out stadiums in 5 minutes.
So does Barry Manilow.
Tickets,
Barry Manilow sold out 18,000, Celine Dion. I mean, that doesn't matter to me. I understand what you're saying. It's a part
of
the picture.
Celine Dion did it for like a year in the year 2000, you know, around Titanic. She did it for like a year. You know, Adele can do it this year for like a year. Bruce Springsteen's done it year in and year out since the late 70s. That's a different level, man. To say that I think he was way more influential than Bob Dylan.
No, he hasn't. First of all, there would be no Bruce if there was no Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan was influenced greatly by Bob Dylan. I'm not trying to say who's better. The argument is who's better. Yeah, well, you'll see. We got a Bruce.
But if you're just
going to
use that, though, as
Bob
Dylan came first, so he's more influential.
No,
I'm not
saying that.
Bruce Springsteen is more influential. Then the argument's already over. You can't even argue about it. Then
there's no. The argument is who's greater, who's the bigger superstar. There's no doubt Bob has been more influential and a bigger part of American cultural society, but Bruce is a much more successful artist. He's a better live artist. He's a better performer, much more exciting to see in person. Songwriting? I don't know. I mean, that's a tough call. You know, Bob Dylan has a ton of epic, incredible songs. So, I don't know.
I agree that he has some songs. I can't put them in the same stratosphere. And after seeing Bruce again yesterday, Bruce Springsteen is going to become, I can tell from this experience, he's going to become one of my top five for sure, maybe top like three. Like, it's every time I've seen him, it's taken me to another level of wanting to get into his music. And his music is it's just so vast and beautiful. It's just, his lyrics, the music is so beautiful. They're such an incredible band.
All right, my man. Well, we'll see. Everybody look forward to that episode. It should be coming out this weekend, which is the Bob versus Bruce part one, and then Mark will be involved in the subsequent follow-ups and dust-ups. So we're going to do some stuff like that. Probably Aerosmith versus Van Halen. Who else can we do? It is very close. That's not even close. Beatles by a large margin.
No,
and then,
Stones are better than Beatles.
Beatles and Stones. How about who else we want to do? Yeah, that's pretty good. How about Air Supply versus...
Elvis versus Justin Bieber.
Elvis... I'm going to hang up on you now, man. You really disgust.
I'll take the Biebs.
Take it. Of course you would. In every conceivable way. All
right,
my man.
Right?
I got to hit the road.
All right. Until next time, Vapes.
In basketball.